Welcome to the Naturally Nourished Podcast that delivers cutting-edge food as medicine solutions for optimal health. Ali Miller is a nutrition expert sought out by the media and America's top medical institutes for her revolutionary functional medicine interventions. From disease treatment to prevention, every episode will empower you with ways to put yourself back in control of your health. Please note, the topics discussed are for educational purposes only. Now welcome, Integrative Dietitians Ali Miller and her co-host Becky Yu.
Welcome to episode 393 of the Naturally Nourished Podcast. In today's episode, we're talking all about magnesium, a superstar mineral that we talk about all the time for its many benefits, everything from sleep to neuromuscular relaxation to blood sugar regulation and so much more. And today we'll just be taking a deeper dive on this really miraculous mineral, covering so many more functions of magnesium, symptoms to look for in terms of deficiency, the difference between types of magnesium supplementation, and food sources.
Yes, I know we were just talking recently, and as many of you listeners have heard, relax and regulate is a formula we refer to a lot. This is our powdered product of magnesium bisglycinate with myo-inositol as a 1-2 punch, if you will, for relaxation, chill, regulation of the nervous system, and we see so many favorable hormonal output and balancing effects and so much more. It's our number one seller, and it's one of those supplements like Gabacom that people will take it and within like 2 or 3 nights of use, notice immediate effects of sleeping better, maybe not having muscle cramps or twitches. Those that are doing our keto have less heart arrhythmia or palpitations. So we figured, let's bring y'all the juice and really nerd out for an entire episode all about magnesium. And like Becky said, you know, why it matters, why we think that really all Americans should be supplementing with magnesium, and the best forms, which, just a little bit of Cliff's notes, we're going to be saying it's magnesium bisglycinate, which is in our relax and regulate.
Yes. Before we get to all that, let's just have a quick word from our sponsor for this episode, Noble Origins.
Yes, Noble Origins is a company that provides an organ complex in a powdered blend of high-quality beef organs from New Zealand grass-fed cows. They provide you a blend of liver, heart, kidney, pancreas, and spleen so that you can have the benefits of snout-to-tail nutrition in a smoothie or a savory sauce. This is a really easy way to incorporate just a teaspoon or even half teaspoon to start to get very bioavailable B vitamins, good minerals, especially we think of in the world of organs getting iron in here and copper and zinc. This is a fantastic tool to support nutrient density and also to enhance potentially immune function and so much more. You can go on over to nobleorigins.com/discount/AliMillerRD, or when you're shopping at Noble Origins, make sure you grab one of those red bags, which is just their direct organ blend. You can use the code AliMillerRD at checkout and you will save on your order and let them know that you learned about them through the Naturally Nourished Podcast.
So magnesium is really this silent hero, if you will, and it's involved in over 300 different enzymatic reactions in the body. We know it's a mineral. Let's just define for listeners what magnesium is a little bit further.
Yeah, so some would call it a vital mineral because it plays a multitude of roles in the human body. Chemically, it's classified as an alkaline earth metal, and it is represented by the atomic number 12 on the periodic table. It's the fourth most abundant mineral in the body, or should be, and is essential for maintaining overall health and well-being. It is highly reactive, and it readily is going to form compounds with other elements. And it exists naturally in various forms. So magnesium oxide, magnesium sulfate, which is known as Epsom salt, and magnesium carbonate are the common ones that we would find in nature, naturally occurring. And then in the body, magnesium is going to play a role in over 300 enzymatic reactions. So this makes it truly indispensable because we count on magnesium for numerous physiological processes. This can impact our metabolism, like you said, blood pressure, nervous system, and we'll kind of go into those roles in a moment. Magnesium is kind of checked and balanced in our body by the kidneys. So they're the control level or mechanistic regulator of magnesium. The kidneys will excrete magnesium into the urine if there's an excess. And this is often why urinary excretion is going to be reduced when magnesium and electrolyte status is low. Magnesium is usually the least abundant serum electrolyte in the body, but it's yet very important still for our metabolism, our energy production, and so much more. We need small amounts relative to other nutrients, but we must regularly replenish our stores from foods or magnesium supplements in order to prevent the deficiency symptoms, because the body is burning through magnesium daily for all of those various enzymatic processes again, and we won't have necessary functions such as cardiovascular, heart rhythm, muscle movement, hormone production, etc., if we start to see depletion patterns.
Got it. So let's cover some of the many roles of magnesium, because we said it does a lot of different things in the body.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the most direct is our neuromuscular function. So this will connect into how we have regulation of blood pressure. So regulating optimal blood pressure, preventing hypertension. Anyone listening that is on a blood pressure medication or has been told that they have pre-hypertension or hypertension, you must take magnesium. I mean, that is a number one. We even think of like preeclampsia in pregnant women. I'm always saying, you can take upwards of 4 scoops of Relax and Regulate, and that will prevent so many complications, mm-hmm. especially in the institutional birth world.
Totally.
As far as, you know, induction and ending up in C-section, sure. essentially,
yep.
Because of that cramping that can occur, which would bring the blood pressure up, which is a risk for baby, of course. So magnesium and blood pressure, huge. If you have any blood pressure issues, go get you some Relax and Regulate. Balancing nitric oxide in the body. So playing a role with how the vessels vasodilate or constrict. Magnesium plays a role in growth and development in utero all the way through babies and children. It plays a role in the proper function of our nerves, our muscles, and our tissue. So when we see things like eye twitches or Charlie horses, we look at magnesium deficiency. It neutralizes our stomach acid. It plays a role moving stool through the intestine and preventing constipation, so that peristalsis of the nervous system in the gut. Magnesium plays a role in photosynthesis even, so helping to form chlorophyll, which is the mechanism that, of course, plants use to turn sunlight into energy. So magnesium plays a huge role in our food production system.
Yes. And then beyond that, we know that energy production requires
in humans
magnesium
too.
In humans.
Yes.
So looking at ATP, our kind of primary, you know, energy currency, if you will, it participates in the ATP metabolism and creation of ATP, creation of energy. So fatigue is a very common symptom overlooked of magnesium deficiency.
Yes. And then although we think of calcium for bone, magnesium is a critical component as well of bone tissue. It accounts for about 60% of the total body's magnesium stored in the bone there alongside calcium and, you know, with a role of vitamin D. But magnesium absolutely plays a role with bone density and strength, and it stimulates the activity of our bone building cells, our osteoblasts, which are going to regulate the bone matrix proteins. We see an impact of magnesium in cardiovascular health beyond that hypertension and blood pressure, in actually regulating our heart rhythm. So I mentioned, you know, arrhythmia or heart palpitations can be alleviated with magnesium as a supplement intervention. We know that it also will play a big role with DNA and RNA synthesis. So playing a role with the genetic material of our cells, as well as reproductive health and cell division and growth patterns. And when we say it works as like a cofactor, this is basically an activator on enzyme pathways that play a role in various biochemical processes. So these can be the Krebs cycle where we're producing ATP. These can be, and so that'd be energy metabolism. These can be in protein synthesis, in the regulation of neurotransmitters, and so much more.
And then muscle function, right? We think about like muscle cramps as a sign of maybe more severe magnesium depletion, but magnesium actually helps with the proper contraction and relaxation of our muscles. So working alongside calcium once again to regulate those muscular contractions and influencing the release and the uptake of calcium within our cells. We see nervous system regulation, mm-hmm. which is a big one that we talk about a lot, particularly with magnesium bisglycinate, but playing a role in modulating neurotransmitter release and nerve signal transmission, actually regulating the levels of those excitatory or kind of wind me up neurotransmitters, mm-hmm. And regulating GABA levels, for example.
Yes. And then we see in the world of metabolic health, blood sugar regulation. So magnesium plays a role with insulin signaling and glucose metabolism. It helps the uptake of glucose into our cells so that can in turn reduce body fat storage and aid in metabolism. We see magnesium levels playing a huge role with insulin sensitivity and risk factor with deficiency for type 2 diabetes. So the whole world of dysmetabolic syndrome, whether we're talking about lipids in heart health, hypertension, or diabetes, magnesium plays a really integral role. And then finally, even connecting the dots further in that world as an anti-inflammatory. So it can actually exhibit anti-inflammatory properties by inhibiting the pro-inflammatory chemicals like the cytokines. It can regulate immune function and play a role in mitigating or offsetting chronic inflammation that we see with various health conditions.
And so because magnesium is so kind of ubiquitous, it does so many things in the body. I think deficiency can also show up in a lot of different mm-hmm. ways. So we mentioned like the muscle cramping and spasms as a big one that I think of as like, ooh, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. That's magnesium, especially either during physical activity or at night at rest, like restless legs or getting Charlie horses or getting that random spasm in maybe our bicep or one of our larger mm-hmm. muscle groups, that can be a really telltale sign of magnesium deficiency.
And then even weakness in the mm-hmm. muscles, which can over time impact mobility, physical performance, bone density, of course. We can see nausea and vomiting or gastrointestinal issues. I mentioned constipation earlier because of that bowel motility. We can see, of course, mood issues because of the neurotransmitter connections, so more prone towards irritability, anxiety, depression, or mood swings. Insomnia, because magnesium has that support with depth and quality of sleep. We can see headaches and migraines, kind of connected to that muscle tension component. And then we can even see issues with memory and cognition with magnesium deficiency. I mentioned bone density and the structural elements, so higher prone tendency towards osteoporosis. We can see cravings for salt and sweets in individuals that have low magnesium status. And we can even see like vasovagal stuff, so dizziness or lightheadedness, and then overall fatigue or weakness because of that lack of that energy production requiring magnesium.
And I don't think we said this one, but like getting little twitches beyond like the large muscles. Mm-hmm. I know that when I'm under stress and also underslept, mm-hmm. I often will get like a twitch in one of my eyes. I forget which one it is off the top of my head, but I'm like, oh, I just need more magnesium. And it'll go on for a couple days before I connect the dots and like up my relax and regulate. And we'll get to in a moment why we might burn through more magnesium and need more than our baseline supplementation during times of elevated stress or during times that we haven't slept as well, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then there are many chronic conditions, of course, also associated with magnesium deficiency. So just thinking about the different systems of the body that we've kind of already gone mm-hmm. through, I think the big ones, you know, hypertension, you mentioned, type 2 diabetes, because of that role in blood glucose and insulin signaling. We'd see, you know, chronic fatigue potentially implicated, migraine headaches, you know, severe migraines. We might see actually asthma as kind of an uncommon or unthought condition that's associated with magnesium deficiency as well, because magnesium can work as a bronchodilator. It's a really important supplementation for anyone who's having any kind of like airway issues.
Yes. And then of course the whole world of neurological and mental health and that whole gamut of considerations, and then inflammatory conditions in general. So anyone dealing with chronic inflammation, supplementing with magnesium would be a strong recommendation, especially if they're dealing with things like fibromyalgia or tenderness in the neuromuscular tissues, nervous system issues, neuropathy. These would all be areas to really consider magnesium.
Okay. Let's talk now about some of the drivers of deficiency. And it's estimated that up to 50%, and maybe it's more because there's not really great testing available mainstream for magnesium deficiency. So, you know, people could be running around deficient for long periods of time and never know, right? Or never know that their symptoms are connected.
And what's worse, given a drug that not only masks the problem,
but actually but drives further deficiency.
More deficiency. Yeah. Yes. So again, the whole world of blood pressure, I think, is one to really harp on because, you know, again, a lot of blood pressure medications are going to drive further issues with electrolytes, and namely magnesium is a big one that gets hit.
Yeah, so wild. So, you know, increased excretion in general is a big driver. So that could be because of a medication that we're taking, like a diuretic or a blood pressure medication that works in, you know, that way that you just mentioned. Alcohol consumption, excessive sweating, or like sauna use, or hot weather, we might need more magnesium during those timestamps, can all increase our excretion or our losses where our body's just not keeping up with that demand.
Yeah. And then even a higher refined carbohydrate diet or processed refined foods diet, because again, you require magnesium to support healthy insulin signaling and glucose uptake. So if you're spiking your blood sugar regularly, that's going to cause that deficiency. And what's more, this double-edged sword is if you're eating a refined processed diet, you're likely not getting magnesium-rich food choices.
Right.
And so, you know, that's going to add more insult to injury. And I think that's the whole kind of other can of worms here is just the dietary insufficiency. And this could also come back to the soil. I know in our garden, especially like with our tomatoes, we actually use Epsom salt within, you know, we use like a mushroom compost blend and all sorts of ways to try to remineralize our soil. But we directly, that's one of the only like elements, you know, of course we have like the seaweed preparation, which has iodine and trace minerals, et cetera. But magnesium is quite directly given in that magnesium sulfate. And we know that, you know, even the leafy greens as a food source of magnesium, if grown in magnesium deficient soils, isn't going to be as magnesium rich as if grown in a more biodiverse garden or a garden that has better mineral balance.
Totally. And I think that's why a lot of people are deficient. We're just eating sad food.
So, I mean, processed refined foods that are made of processed chemical shitstorms or products versus whole food ingredients are not going to be rich, believe it or not, in magnesium. And then, like I said, what's furthermore is that those foods, if they're processed refined carbs, further deplete. And, you know, when we're looking for magnesium foods, we're thinking leafy greens, nuts and seeds, and maybe even if tolerated, consideration of certain whole grains as being best whole food choices. And we're just not seeing those being consumed by most Americans.
And I think stress is probably the biggest driver of deficiency beyond diet, right? Or it compounds with that for sure. And we allude to this all the time that, you know, stress burns through magnesium and you need more magnesium during times of elevated stress. But let's just talk about the mechanisms here.
Yeah. So during periods of stress, the body actually has within this activation of our HPA axis, right, that hypothalamic pituitary adrenal feedback, the release of stress hormones such as cortisol actually is going to release magnesium into the urine. And so there's this magnesium dump, if you will, at time of stress. And this is essentially because the body wants that tension for that fight or flee. But again, when we're under stress, we're not actually running from a cheetah. And so this is where some people notice their first indicator of stress, like you said, maybe more severe, prolonged, could be like an eye twitch or a tremor. But maybe the first sign is just like tension in the neck and shoulders kind of thing, or like you're clenching your jaw, you're holding, you're locking. And that's this fight or flight surge, right? Or we're not breathing as regulated. Maybe we're holding our breath, not getting as many exhales. Well, within that fight or flight response, we're seeing more dumping of magnesium in the urine. So the kidneys are shunting that out because it doesn't want us to release. It wants us to lock. We also know that there's alterations in magnesium absorption during times of stress. So we talked about how you make less hydrochloric acid, you make less digestive enzymes. Well, gastrointestinal tract will adjust how it absorbs nutrients during a time of stress, right? So individuals that are dealing with inflammatory bowel for sure tend to be prone to magnesium deficiency, but even like IBS. So if you're having variants in bowel formation or cramping or GI distress, you're likely not getting best bioavailability or absorption and delivery of magnesium within your body, especially if individuals are dealing with leaky gut, let's say, which could be driven by stress. We know that the body is going to, like I said, burn through either by dumping or by utilizing. So sometimes we will use those magnesium stores to offset or basically try to rebound from a stress response. And then that might outpace our actual consumption. So that'll lead to deficiency. Magnesium plays a huge role, like we said, in those neurotransmitters. So that counterbalance of the excitability or the excitatory stress hormones, getting that GABA, getting that release on a neuromuscular level and attenuating the release of cortisol is going to release and liberate magnesium, causing over time a deficiency.
So I think in short, we burn through it more so in stressful times, and we need to be more careful about upping our magnesium supplementation during those times to kind of bubble wrap the system, right? And you may find, you know, your tolerance for magnesium goes up, whereas, you know, one scoop of Relax and Regulate on a regular basis is just fine. You go to two during a stressful time and it's like, oh, it's not giving me loose stools like I thought it would or like it had in the past, right? We tolerate more because we're burning through it. Let's talk about assessment and just, do we need to test for magnesium deficiency, or are enough people deficient and it's used for enough things that like everyone under the sun should just be taking it?
Well, it's for sure in one of my like top four or most definitely top five supplement recommendations, you know? So if we're talking about a quality multi, a fish oil, a probiotic, magnesium is that fourth one, I think, for sure. And so, you know, I'd even put that before I'd run into like adaptogens, et cetera, because I think we need that physiological enzymatic support of this mineral. I often will, if we're looking at an affordable option and I'm coordinating care with a patient's physician, I'll just ask them to run a red blood cell magnesium, because this is going to look more at the bioavailability on a cellular level versus, of course, when we're just looking at a comp, which is a comprehensive metabolic panel, which is not very comprehensive. That's like that cheapo panel that's just looking at a snapshot of your glucose, your kidney function. So BUN, creatinine would be in there, ALT, AST, liver enzymes, and then they'll look at potassium, calcium, magnesium. That's just really looking at how the kidneys are regulating your mineral. It's not going to show a cellular deficiency. It's just going to show that feedback of your renal function, really, more so. And so red blood cell magnesium is a good way to start. And then I really like to just run that annual micronutrient test, because that will tell me if especially the individual is supplementing with magnesium, where the rest of their mineral status is at. And that's where we can really see a true assessment of borderline or functional deficiency.
Sure. And we'll often see trends where it's like, ooh, this definitely is stress, because not only is magnesium burned out, but we're also seeing maybe glycine is burned out, and maybe some of the B vitamins, B5 and B6 are also deficient. And then we're like, okay, you get Relax and Regulate. That's a 2-for-1. That's going to give you some of that glycine as well. And then you get some Calm and Clear thrown into your mix.
Yeah, you're also going to want a And then, of course, lifestyle adjustment, sure. right? Because otherwise we're just band-aiding. So yep, we have totally. To figure out the root of the stress. But yes, that's where like Calm and Clear, although there isn't a lot of magnesium in there. There is a very moderate amount. Yeah. It's really just to kind of balance things out. But we bring in that Calm and Clear because we want the autonomic nervous system to be more parasympathetic and to not be the driver of depletion.
Sure. And in terms of like the question of, do I have to test? I don't think so. I think we can just assume deficient based on supplementation and start with kind of a standard dose is typically around 200 milligrams of magnesium and can go up from there. But let's cover supplementation because there's so many different forms. Mm-hmm. And I'm still, you know, when we do an initial intake with a client, I'm constantly taking people off like Calm or, you know, a Nature's Bounty magnesium citrate or oxide. There are so many different forms. And I think it can get a little confusing.
Yes. So magnesium citrate is going to be magnesium combined with citric acid. And this is going to be the most commonly found form. It's the cheapest. It's pretty well absorbed by the body. It does have a laxative effect. So it's going to have some osmotic influence of bringing some fluid into the colon. And this can be helpful for individuals with constipation. That laxative effect can be also a drawback, though, because it can lead to diarrhea or cramping, especially in individuals that maybe have like muscle tremors or tics and are looking to dose higher in magnesium to offset. They might get then bowel dysregulation. And because of that dumping in the bowels, it's also questionable about the bioavailability on a cellular level, per se. Magnesium oxide is the one that really hit the market like in like 2010, I want to say. There were these like, I can't think of the name of the supplement line, but it was like a very pyramid scheme.
It's like a colon cleanse thing, right?
Yes.
I don't remember what it is.
And it used magnesium oxide in there. And, you know, the oxide is quite significant laxative. It actually is not very absorbable in the body, but it kind of like explodes in the colon. Mm-hmm. So magnesium hydroxide or magnesium oxide, this is the ingredient in milk of magnesia. And so often this is taken like before a colonoscopy, or it could be taken for heartburn symptoms with pretty good efficacy. But that's where we usually lean into our GI lining support because it's very difficult to have a well-formed bowel with magnesium oxide. I mean, the fecal matter is coming out, but it's kind of explosive, if you will. Yes. Magnesium glycinate is highly absorbable, and magnesium glycinate is the one that is really the strongest recommendation for anyone that has an actual magnesium deficiency symptom. So that would extend into the hypertension, into the prediabetes and diabetes. This would extend into the mental health world, into the neurological. It's least likely to cause a laxative effect, and it is going to be bound to the amino acid glycine. Glycine beautifully works with magnesium because it further supports that GABA production, which is that mellower out for our nervous system. So it's inhibitory. It hinders that fight or flight surge. So that would reduce that cortisol dumping to cause magnesium deficiency. And glycine also is going to help with sleep quality and neuromuscular function. So magnesium glycinate is going to be very supportive for our neuromuscular system. It can help to support relaxation and sleep, and it can really impact some of those cramps like we discussed, the twitches, and even hypertension. That would be the strongest one we would see in studies there.
Yes, so sneak peek, that's our favorite.
Yes. And then there's magnesium malate, which is an essential mineral form, and that's the organic compound that we would find in food sources. It's relatively impressive bioavailability, but doesn't stand up to magnesium glycinate when looking at tests with humans. And then magnesium threonate is kind of a newer, also kid on the block, high bioavailability and tends to be shown to penetrate the mitochondrial membrane. We think of the magnesium L-threonate as a form that could cross the blood-brain barrier and have cognitive and brain health support. But I will note, magnesium bisglycinate has also been shown in research to cross the blood-brain barrier I've called it in past episodes and in my book, The Anti-Anxiety Diet, like a bodyguard for the pituitary gland because it blocks that ACTH stimulus to cortisol production. So there is blood-brain barrier passing of threonate and glycinate, but I think threonate is in the marketing world getting a lot more talk about like cognitive brain.
Yeah, yeah, more so for like brain fog or cognition concerns.
Yes, and then finally, there is magnesium orotate, and these are supplements that have orotic acid in them. And there are some studies that are looking at beneficial for heart health. So when looking at all of these forms and looking at human studies, which is always, of course, the ideal, we're looking at a study by Webster State University, which looked at the chelate form of the magnesium bisglycinate and found an 8.8 times greater absorption than magnesium oxide, a 5.6 times greater absorption than magnesium sulfate, and a 2.3 times greater absorption than magnesium carbonate. So magnesium bisglycinate, taking it even further than magnesium glycinate, is going to have even more potent amount of magnesium than just magnesium glycine or magnesium glycinate. So just noting that you're going to see even more magnesium bioavailability.
Okay. So super important to, you know, make sure that when you're supplementing with magnesium, you're getting the right form. One, so it's doing the things it's supposed to do in the body and not just giving you chronic diarrhea and loose stools, and two, so you're kind of getting what you pay for, right? That you're getting the best bang for your buck and bioavailability.
Yes. And, you know, we've talked about a lot in the world of like chelators or regulators, you know, fulvic minerals and humic acid in the soil. But I think it's important to call out also in the like carnivore individuals or those that are anxious about anti-nutrients or, you know, issues with absorption from eating polyphenol-based foods. When you're dosing with magnesium bisglycinate, which is essentially magnesium molecule of the mineral with two glycine molecules that are covalently bound to the magnesium, this actually is able to create complexes with anti-nutrients to inhibit the absorption of them. So it can actually reduce phytates, oleic oxalic acid, tannins, and the potential harmful impact while also giving you that bioavailable form of magnesium.
Well, isn't that neat? Mm-hmm. Look at that. And then there's the world of topical supplementation as well. And this would be more as like an adjunct, not your standard route. This is the only supplementation you take, but there's the mag chloride products. Mm-hmm. So there are like sprays and lotions out there, used more so in a topical application. I know I've used them for like severe neck tension. Mm-hmm. I think I used some like during, or I thought I was going to use it during labor for like contractions and cramping, but you know, there was no time for that. And then mag sulfate would be more of the Epsom salt that we're familiar with. And that would be used for like a bath soak, both for the detox properties and for the muscle soothing properties.
And both could be used for constipated babies.
That's true. Yeah.
So I know a lot of mamas with breastfed babies, you know, deal with that transition phase, especially when you're starting to bring in solids because baby's kind of regulating their hydration and all that stuff. So this could be something that could absolutely be done topically as a belly massage with like biking legs and things like that, and could be very supportive for little ones in need. I would call out, because of the Epsom salt craze, Dr. Teal's, which I always recommended forever, all of a sudden, I swear, in the last couple years, is now putting fragrances and preservatives in a lot of their products. So just be really aware that you flip that around and you actually read the label, and you really just need magnesium sulfate, a pure Epsom salt. And then if you want to add in lavender essential oil, or, you know, you want to have from Trader Joe's some eucalyptus hanging over your bath or some kind of like essential oil or plant compound, do that yourself.
Right. Yeah.
Because those Dr. Teal's fragranced ones are using synthetic fragrance and you don't want to be soaking in that.
Nope.
Oh, and you don't want to put your baby in that either.
Definitely not. And then, you know, when it comes to supplementation, let's just talk about how much we should be supplementing with daily. So I mentioned that 200 milligrams for adults as kind of a starting dose.
Yeah. And, you know, this really comes into effect as early as age 9. So, you know, infants can go anywhere around like 30 milligrams. And this works up with toddlers at like 80 milligrams, give or take. 4 to 8 year old range recommended at 130 milligrams, and then hitting already 240 milligrams for ages 9 to 13. With adults, and this is in the recommended daily allowance, right, through the NIH, adults being in that 400, or women in the 310 to 360, men in the 400 to 410 world, and that may maintain or go up slightly with age. Now, again, these are daily allowances. I'm using air quotes. Often we may need, if coming from a status of deficiency, a little bit more. Sure. Because we're not maintaining. We're looking to replete. So as you mentioned, you know, a scoop of our Relax and Regulate has that magnesium bisglycinate at 200 milligrams. And so, you know, anywhere between 1 to 2 scoops is a pretty reasonable approach there.
Yep. And you mentioned up to 4 scoops even would be appropriate in certain instances. I think there's a lot to be said about the safety of magnesium, you know.
Yeah.
Once you probably get to like that 800 milligrams, which is 4 scoops of Relax and Regulate, first of all, you're going through the container really fast. But if we're dealing with like really severe constipation, there might be something else going on that you need to address beyond just the need for more magnesium, right? We might need to do a beat the bloat cleanse.
Probiotic challenge.
To add some probiotic into the mix, but would be safe. And I know certainly during pregnancy, I was at 3 to 4 scoops like a day the whole time with Mabel.
Yes. And just to call out, you know, magnesium again is always found with a substrate. So magnesium citrate, for instance, you know, when we're looking at the milligrams there, it's only 11% of elemental magnesium by weight. If you look at magnesium bisglycinate with those 2 glycine molecules, it's at about 14% magnesium by weight. So even beyond the bioavailability, where we said magnesium bisglycinate is 8.8 times more bioavailable than some of these varied forms, we also need to know that when you're looking at milligrams, it's not necessarily an apples to apples kind of comparison.
Got it. I think that's important. And when we're talking RDA too, they're factoring in, you know, dietary magnesium as well. And so let's talk about favorite food sources. I think our stance is, unfortunately, we probably can't get enough from food anymore, but food plus like 1 scoop of the Relax and Regulate would be really solid.
For most people, yeah, exactly. And then pump it up if under stress or et cetera. So the first thing that comes to mind when we're talking food as medicine with magnesium is dark leafy greens. So the darker the better, in the sense of like rich collard greens and kale and chard or Malabar spinach. Doing our super greens cube would be a great way to keep this as a daily practice. And overall, just trying to get 2 to 3 cups of leafy greens. These could be thrown into your bone broth. These could be the base of a salad, in a smoothie, as kale chips, etc. Then I mentioned nuts and seeds earlier. So getting a good variety. So maybe like pepitas or pumpkin seeds, getting in Brazil nuts, almonds. Go for organic because of the high glyphosate in almonds. Cashews, walnuts, variety in your trail mix would be a great approach. Looking at legumes, if you tolerate them, would be lovely. So this could be lentils, chickpeas, maybe making like our beet hummus would be a strong recommendation as a food as medicine tool. And then we're looking at even a bunch of different kinds of produce. So fruit, various vegetables will have moderate amounts of magnesium. And then we will see a good amount of magnesium in our protein choices. So like halibut, salmon, chicken even, and beef. Magnesium is in cacao. We love to talk about that connection of dark chocolate or cacao powder during our menstrual cycle, of wanting that magnesium for the muscle contraction, relaxation from cramping potentially, Avocado is a great choice. So maybe the avocado mousse we'll put as a recipe that you can dip with fresh strawberries. And then yogurt is a good one. We tend to think of like phosphorus in yogurt and potassium and calcium. But we also know that magnesium is a pretty decent source in that fermented dairy as well.
Okay. So some pretty like delicious and easy ways to get your magnesium into the diet as well.
Yes. So there are for sure a variety of food sources, but as we opened this episode, Becky, you know, 50% of Americans are deficient. So I think that this is a good call to action to consider supplementing with magnesium, and really the best way to notice if it's worth it, if it's worth your investment, if you're seeing good outcomes, is to observe the changes you see within your own body. So I'm going to provide all you listeners with the coupon code RELAX10. You can one time use this code for purchase of Relax and Regulate, get 10% off. It's our top selling supplement in the Naturally Nourished line. It uses that magnesium bisglycinate, and it has another power player in there, myo-inositol, which I kind of spoke to in the opening. Our product page links a ton of research, including this graph that we kind of unpacked with you guys on the bioavailability of this form of magnesium. And again, I think that this would be a really important supplement consideration for everyone as one of our top four, but especially for anyone dealing with that dysmetabolic syndrome. So that's elevated blood pressure, or dealing with prediabetes, or any cardiovascular risk. This is a very strong consideration for anyone that is under high mental stress or even physical stress. Athletes burn through magnesium at higher levels. Any woman that is pregnant would benefit from magnesium bisglycinate and Relax and Regulate, of course, because of that myo-inositol as well, but very supportive on prevention of preeclampsia and supporting bowel motility as baby grows and creates more compression in the colon. Magnesium bisglycinate and Relax and Regulate would be also a strong consideration for anyone dealing with any neuromuscular conditions. So any of those tremors or tics or Charlie horses, as well as insomnia. So if you fit any of those checkboxes, we would love for you to explore and get the amazing outcomes that so many of our Naturally Nourished supplement buyers get. And you can use RELAX10 and check it out. Let's maybe talk about the best practice or best ways to take Relax and Regulate.
Yeah,
and then we'll wrap things up.
And it is like, it is my favorite supplement for sure. I mean, I've been on that one for probably, gosh,
almost 15 years.
To me, back in the day, right? In your office when I was, coming off my vegan diet and I was deficient in magnesium. Gosh, mm-hmm. I don't know.
2011, 2000.
Yeah, yeah, I guess it's longer than that. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. A really long time. And so the way I take it is different than the way you take it. Mm-hmm. So at night, I'm doing, for maintenance, between 1 and 2 scoops per night. And I just keep like a, ball jar in my bathroom vanity that I can refill with a little bit of filtered water. So I'm doing like 1 to 2 ounces with those 2 scoops, just kind of swirling it around and shooting it back like a shot. I have a lot of clients who, maybe if I don't educate them as well as I should have, they'll be like, I can't drink that much water before bed. I have to get up and pee all night. And I always tell them there's no reason you need to take it with a full glass water. Just take it with a couple of ounces. And then you are a maniac.
Barbaric.
Yes.
I just do the scoop, swish, swallow, or squish, scoop, swallow, swish, I guess is how it goes. So I just dry scoop it in my mouth, and then I take a sip of water out of my water bottle, and I go in my cheeks and I swallow it down. It kind of has like a pixie stick reminiscence for me, because the myo-inositol is naturally sweet. And that's why I like to just kind of get it down the hatch versus diluting it in water and sipping on it for a long period of time. But we have clients that, because of that flavor influence, will add it to their evening cup of tea. It actually blends really nice with our You Glow Girl. So it's especially for, again, the hypertension cardiovascular population, doing a scoop of Relax and Regulate in that rooibos and hibiscus would be very lovely.
Okay.
For kiddos, we use the Relax and Regulate for many kiddos that have ADHD, are dealing with sleep jags, or are dealing with neurological dysfunction. And many of them will take it with like an ounce of tart cherry juice and water, or a diluted apple juice. The big name of the game is get it down, get it back, and you don't need a lot of fluid. And it mixed beautifully as a combination with our GI lining support. And I know that's how both of us technically
that
take
is true.
It.
I do take two scoops of GI lining in there too.
That added scoop in there.
Yep.
Yep. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to today's episode. I hope that you've learned a couple things on magnesium. Go through your pantry and toss the cheapo stuff of the citrate, the oxide, or whatever products came in there, and take a leap on our Relax and Regulate. I know you'll love it. Like I said, it's our top selling formula, and we'd love to see how amazing you feel when you are getting an optimal level of magnesium bisglycinate in your body.
Thank you for listening to the Naturally Nourished podcast. Visit our blog at AllieMillerRD.com for recipes, wellness tips, and food as medicine meal plans. Connect with Allie and Becky at AllieMillerRD on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Until next time, stay nourished and be well.